Well, let's meet Conrad Davis, and Sarah is here too. Is it? Hopefully, I'm going to get it correct. I should have checked. It's for Shed.
Yeah,
I thought so. Sarah's been here before, so I still have some memory. For people that are tuning in for the first time who haven't met you before, Sarah, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself again. And the same with Conrad, if you could just tell us your age, where you go to school, and if you have any shout-outs, we can get those done now. Sarah, I'll let you start.
Hello, my name is Sarah Shedd. I'm 17. I'm a senior at Fox Chapel Area High School, and I'm the president of the Allegheny Observers.
I'm Conrad. I'm 16. I go to Upper St. Clair High School, and I'm a member of the Allegheny Observers group.
And who can tell me a little bit about the Allegheny Observers, your mission, what you do, how you do it?
So the Allegheny Observers is a youth astronomy club at the University of Pittsburgh's observatory, the Allegheny Observatory, where anyone, regardless of their experience in astronomy, can take on research or attend, you know, star parties or just learn more about astronomy.
And Conrad, what got you interested in astronomy? You're in 10th grade now. Did that interest start earlier, or is it relatively recent?
So it's kind of weird. I mean, I've literally always been fascinated with this stuff. I don't know why. I just remember as like a little kid looking at pictures of just outer space and astronauts and always just being fascinated with it. So I don't really know where the interest came from. I feel like I've been born with it, but I've just always had it.
Interesting. And Sarah, I saw you nodding your head as Conrad was speaking. Is that true in your case as well?
Yeah, I had a similar experience where I think the earliest I can trace it back to is maybe third grade when I had a project on Pluto, and it was only supposed to be one page written, and I think I wrote about 12. And I don't know where that came from. I just found myself writing and writing and writing, and I just loved it so much, and I guess it stuck with me.
I can remember identifying some constellations as maybe a five-year-old or so, and you know, the Big and Little Dipper being the primary ones, and being fascinated that no matter where I was in the region or in the country, I could still see them. You know, that, wow, those are immense, and I can always see them wherever I am. And that fascinated me, but I didn't get much deeper into any of it. I'm not sure why. Nobody probably encouraged me to consider it. It sounds like the Allegheny Observers is a great way to get deeper into those things. Do you have events coming up that people can take part in?
Yes, we have the Haunted Space Mansion. I'm sure maybe some people have heard of it, where it's kind of like a spooky haunted house at the observatory, and there's candy, there's astronomy, and it's really fun. And we also have an open house. You can find more about it, I think, on the observatory's website or the Eventbrite.
That's observatory.pitt.edu/research will take you. There are these activities for people of all ages?
For the most part, I feel like Haunted Space Mansion may be more catered towards a younger audience, but everyone's welcome to come, especially if they want to learn more about astronomy, because even if the event itself is for people of a younger audience, you can obviously ask Ms. Hanjin or any of the other people there if you'd like to learn more.
And is Ms. Hanjin one of the coordinators of the
yes.
program?
She is kind of like our lead, just our guide for everything astronomy related.
And when you come, Conrad, how long have you been associated with the Allegheny Observers?
I think since maybe April.
Okay, so you're relatively new. And it sounds like you came to the club with some experience already. But is it okay to come if you are not an expert in astronomy, but is it more for a club, more for people that really already have a deep knowledge, do you think?
Anyone can come and join as long as you have a fascination with the stars. you can be focused on taking pictures of the sky, trying to gain information from the sky. Just as long as you have some sort of fascination with the universe, then you're welcome to come up.
I'm glad you put it that way. So if the passion is there, it's not like you're going to be tested for your knowledge, or you can expect just to be among people that can help you extend your passion or deepen it or explore it. Conrad, it says that the club went to the Green Bank Radio Observatory recently, and I know nothing about even where it is, let alone what you did. Were you part of the trip?
I was, and it was amazing. The Green Bank Radio Observatory, it's in West Virginia, and what it is it's a collection of giant satellite-dished structures that are radio telescopes. And the cool thing about these radio telescopes is certain things in the sky emit strong radio waves, like what we're talking on right now. And what happens is these huge disks pick up these radio waves, and they can tell us information about different heavenly bodies, like huge clouds of gas, galaxies, the rotation of our own galaxy. It's amazing stuff.
So the telescopes pick up these waves from things that maybe can't even be seen,
mm-hmm.
and you're able to determine location, size, and other physical characteristics?
Exactly. In fact, during my project there, one of the things I was able to find was the size of a cloud of gas through observing its radio waves with the radio telescopes there.
That is amazing to think about. Now, tell me about your project.
So our project, we were looking at a cloud of gas named Orion A, and through observing the radio waves of this, we were able to find it's, I mean, I don't want to get into the, like, super complicated stuff, but basically we were able to find something called angular diameter, and we were able to use this to calculate its actual diameter, or how big it is, like, in reality, like, in the real universe.
Your trigonometry is being used for good, or geometry. So that's amazing. So you're able to come up with this diameter and probably even plot it or visualize it in software. And then I would imagine, are you able to improve upon that estimation? Because if you pick it up on the Green Bank Radio Observatory, there must be other, you call them radio telegraphs, is that right?
Radio telescopes.
Or telescopes, I'm sorry. That can pick them up from other locations too that are going to give you slightly different results?
So the thing about radio telescopes are, the bigger the dish is, like almost like a TV dish, the bigger it is, the more information it can get. So the bigger it is, the more accurate your final result is going to be. So if I want to get a more accurate answer, then I would just use a bigger radio telescope.
And what about the location of the telescope, though? Might that change the result that's sent back to you, I'm not challenging you, I'm just very curious.
Yeah, no. If the radio telescope is near another radio source on Earth, it can interfere with the results. So when you go to a place like this, there can be zero radio waves on you or around the area. So that means all cell phones, all kinds of radio devices. You have to have diesel cars because that would interfere with it. So it's a complete radio silence zone.
Wow, that is really something. Were you on that trip too, Sarah?
No, I was unable to attend this year, but I did go last year.
It sounds like a really cool experience. Do you have anything additional to add based on what you saw last year?
I think I just wanted to add on to the idea that a larger radio telescope can take in more info. You can also get the same effect, I think, from having an array of multiple smaller telescopes all arranged to kind of mimic the feel of a bigger one, because you can combine all the info.
Fascinating. Do you happen to know, are radio telescopes expensive? It seems like they must be.
So, I mean, radio telescopes can be expensive, but in theory, I feel like you could make a very basic one just from a radio dish. But if you want one that's high quality and that's able to be used without hassle, then yeah, it would be kind of expensive.
What other projects have you been working on? Sarah, I know you've been doing a lot of work.
I think last time I was here, I talked about my work with the North American Nebula and finding the ionizing star. Since then, I've moved on to Wolf-Rayet stars and their spectra and why they have emission lines instead of absorption lines and stuff like that.
And refresh my memory, a Wolf-Rayet star is what?
That is part of my research. Still trying to figure that out, but we will be there soon.
And are you doing some current research also, Conrad? Mm-hmm.
I am. I'm doing research on seeing the relationship between how bright a star is and how long it will live for. And I'm doing this by looking at different stars, specifically stars that are like our own sun, and more red stars. And what I'm doing is I'm finding how hot they are, and then I'm using that to find out how large they are and how heavy they are, along with how bright they are, and then using that to find out how long it'll live for.
So probably you're trying to find a correlation mm-hmm. across all of these factors. Have other people tried to do that?
At the observatory, as far as I know, not yet. I'm the only one at the observatory, I think so, that's doing this project. But outside of the observatory, still, I don't really know if anyone's... I'm sure people have, but not of my knowledge.
Do you have a hypothesis that you seek to prove? Or at this point, are you collecting data just to get some background?
I mean, the hypothesis so far is pretty proven that... It makes sense that the brighter a star is, the more energy it's releasing, the shorter it'll live for. Think of it like a car that's burning fuel faster and faster. It'll go faster and faster, sure, but it won't go as far as a star that's, as a car that isn't using as much gas.
That's counterintuitive, believe it or not, to me, because I was thinking if a star is very bright, it's almost like more fuel in the tank, and it has a longer life ahead of it. But what you're saying, and I get it, is that the brighter it is, it's going to accelerate the life, or let's say the death of the star mm-hmm. is accelerating because of how bright it is.
I mean, you're right about one thing, that there is more gas in the tank. But it's more about how fast the star is using that gas. There are stars that are very small, I think can fit inside of New York City, but live much longer than humongous stars with a bunch of gas in the tank. It's how fast the stars use this gas that determine how long they live for.
That's really interesting. That's Conrad Davis, who is a sophomore at Upper St. Clair High School, and Sarah Rashad is here too, who is in her senior year at Fox Chapel Area High School. Do the two of you have a sense of what you want to do after graduating? I'll start with you, Conrad. You've got some more, little more time to think about it, but it seems to me this is an area that you're really passionate about.
So, believe it or not, I've put a lot of thought into what I want to do after high school. I want to go for my PhD in astrophysics. I want to get a professorship so I can teach the next generation about what I love. And I want to learn as much as I possibly can in my lifetime about the stars and about everything I can in general.
You are, your explanations are good, and I think you'd make an excellent teacher. I was already thinking that, not that you need my validation, but that's I think the world needs people that are good explainers of fact. What about you, Sarah?
Through my work at the observatory, I found that I love astronomy, but I've found that chemistry within the astronomy interests me most. So I might try to pursue maybe a double major, a major and minor in chemistry and physics or some combination, just because I like the field of astrochemistry, but I feel that it's too early to specialize in it before I get an idea of what it's actually like in college and in like actual research positions.
That's probably a good rule of thumb for anybody, I think, to learn more before you end up specializing. I didn't get a chance, and I meant to ask both of you what other interests you have beyond astronomy. Conrad, is there anything you're particularly passionate about? I'm sure there must be outside of astronomy.
Well, I love to play music. I've been playing music since I was little, but I've recently been getting back into it and just realizing how much just playing an instrument can add to your life. And I've also loved playing sports, specifically basketball, and just playing on a team and working with other players to achieve a common goal. I think it adds a lot to just interacting with other people and your day-to-day life.
What instrument do you play?
I play the piano. I played it when I was little, and then I took a hiatus for a few years, and then I recently just sat down a few months ago and just started messing around with it, and I realized how much I missed it. So I got back into taking lessons and learning pieces, and I love it, and I don't know why I quit all those years ago.
And what about you, sir?
I really enjoy creating art, specifically like science fiction-related, astronomy-related pieces. I also love playing Ultimate Frisbee. I play for the Fox Chapel Fiddler Crabs Girls Ultimate Team, and it's very fun.
That's a tough sport. You need to have a lot of endurance. I watch Ultimate on TV every now and then. I have played it years ago. All I can remember is you're always moving, pretty much. Do the two of you have anything else you'd like to add about Allegheny Observatory, the programs there, or how much they've meant to you?
I want to talk about, because I know people in my school, my classmates, that are very intimidated by this kind of science. And I just want people to know that anyone can do it. And I'm tired of people talking about how only the 140 IQ super hyper intelligent people can do this stuff. But in reality, all it takes is just some interest in it to really learn and gain knowledge about this field of study. So I just don't want people to be intimidated by science or fear it. I want people to embrace it.
Thank you. That's really, Conrad, very well stated and of critical importance now. What about you, Sarah?
I think Conrad said it perfectly. Just the idea that I feel like when people see the word like physics or astrophysics, they get really freaked out because they think it's a lot of math and a lot of work. But it is a lot of work, but if you love it, you can do it. And at the observatory specifically, everyone there wants you to succeed. So if you're having trouble with something, ask anyone. Genuinely, like every member just wants you to help, like succeed, and they want to help you.
I can't thank the two of you enough for being here. Observatory.pitt.edu is how you can get more information. We did not mention that the Allegheny Observatory is in Riverview Park, which is within the city of Pittsburgh proper and is just north of the city. It's a public space. You can learn more about when the observatory itself is open. Again, at that website, observatory.pitt.edu, look for open houses, the haunted house, and more information about engaging. Conrad Davis and Sarah Rashed, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thanks.
Thank you.